Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, starting in verse 3 this morning, grace, that is special favor, and we've already talked about that. We're in God's grace. We that are saved walk about in his grace. Grace be to you and peace. We've got peace with God, and then we can have the peace of God. Peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. That is, he did not resist. He didn't fight against anything that they did unto him. He gave himself for our sins. That is, he gave himself in behalf or instead of our sins. The wages of sin is death. The payoff, the payoff for sin is death. And so Jesus Christ died instead of us. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. In other words, the cause, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, hold that passage and take two passages. Take 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Romans chapter 8. 2 Timothy 1 and Romans chapter 8. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and tells that, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And yet, that cannot be absolute. That's, in other words, that cannot be total until our vile bodies are changed and made like unto his glorious body. If it was otherwise, then he could take us into the kingdom of God physically, but the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we now, judicially speaking, have been crucified, buried, and risen, and in that sense we are holy and we are without blame before him in love. And yet there is a judgment somewhere down the road there that Paul tells us about and speaks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he looked forward to going unto it. And in that judgment, our works are going to be tried. If our works do not stand the test, then we won't be without blame in that sense. So I would suggest that all of this looks forward to that day when our vile bodies are changed. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, a reference to God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. That is, the calling and the acceptance and all this thing is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is, he appeared unto Paul, Acts 9 and Acts 18, I suppose, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now go back to chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, his purpose and grace. What is his purpose? In Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things, the things that happen to us daily, all things work together for good. They don't feel good, but they work for good. They work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, as is referred to in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So the finished product is glorification. Now go back to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1, verse 4, reference to Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Then it is the will of God that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his Son. Now this can't possibly take place until our vile bodies are changed. Paul refers to the possibilities of being absent from the body and being present with the Lord, which is far better, he said. But he said, in effect, that it is not best for you that this take place with me right now. Well, then I know, by comparing a lot of passages, that being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is not death. It cannot be death. It's got to be after some resurrection. There's got to be a resurrection somewhere, because Paul died, Timothy died, and there are numerous other saints that have died. Obviously, they are not glorified now. And if they are glorified now, then let's just forget anything about a future kingdom there, because that kingdom would be going on right now, and we would best right now all just blow our brains out and go on and be there. But that is untrue. That won't work. So I know then there's got to be a point in time where the body of Christ is complete, and when that is true, then everybody in the church, which is the body of Christ, will be changed and made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, caught out of this world, glorified, and so forth. For that is the purpose. The purpose is glory. Us being in the image of the Lord is His glory. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, in Ephesians 2, verse 4, I'm sorry, I don't know if I told you that. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Cause that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, then the Lord is going to use us in future ages to show somebody the wealth of His grace. Now, He couldn't do that if all the material that was referred to about it being in the newspaper this morning about this revival. If all that stuff was true, He couldn't do this. Gary and I were talking about, a while ago, I read those things by those preachers, and only one of them even mentioned the gospel, and then as Gary referred to, he added something to that later on. I don't believe anything worthwhile to anybody in this room is going on at Brownsville Assembly of God. In fact, I believe that what is going on at Brownsville Assembly of God would be detriment. It would hinder that which needs to happen. If you'll notice, now think about it, folks. 10, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, when did you ever pick up a Pensacola News Journal and find on the front page revival and talk about the Lord and so forth? Or even along in the daily paper in the life section, see about the Lord and about revival and about serving the Lord. And I mean, on and on and on this is taking place. Turn on your television, and what do you see on television? You see more and more religion. Religion is gaining power. It's getting so that it's the thing. You watch, which you folks probably don't, but you watch like an automobile race. Some individual wins and he hops out of the car and he says, I want to thank the Lord for a good race today and this and that and the other. Well, I hope he does. But it's become the thing to do. Like the character carrying the football and he runs into the end zone and he puts on that demonstration, falling down on one knee. They always do it the same way. Falling down on one knee, you know, and poses there for a minute and then gets up. There you go. Religion is gaining ground, folks. It's going like a house of fire. And there probably will be some grace believers somewhere that will be taken in by all this. You know why? Because they're hungry for the type thing that is going on at Brownsville Assembly of God. Commotion. A happening. Well, there is a day then, I understand this, there is a day when what we know today is going to come to an end. It's going to stop. Bingo. And those of us that believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that our sins are paid for, we trust Him with all our heart for our salvation. Bingo. And we're here no more. And somebody, somewhere, will say, good riddance. They say, well, I tried to get them guys to this revival. Now they're gone. Amen. All right, back in the passage. I'm going to start in verse 3 again now. And by the way, when we get through the book of Galatians, we'll all be able to quote it. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, cause that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Now, the word present I mentioned to you last week is two words put together into one word. And the word has to do with, like, I stand in this room. Present. I mean, I couldn't stand in this room yesterday. I could not stand in this room tomorrow. I stand. It's estima. I don't understand anything. I just know that that's the way it is in the Bible. For instance, to go into apostasy is the opposite of this word right here. It means to fall. To fall from the stand of Ephesians chapter 6. Stand in the power of His might. Stand in the Lord. Having done all to stand, that's the word that's used. But apostasy, in the last day some shall depart. The word is fall. They will fall from the faith. This word right here, this present world, is the world in which we now stand. Now, I don't want you to get more confused than I am, and I want you to understand, there isn't anybody in America today that believes the King James Bible is the Word of God any more than I do. But when I compare, as the Bible says that I ought to, Scripture with Scripture, then there are certain things that began to be revealed. And I've noticed that certain people, like Dr. Ruckman, Dr. Ruckman doesn't believe in changing the King James Bible. He believes it's a perfect translation, he says. But he doesn't find any fault with adding a word to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. to say, for Christ sent me not primarily to baptize, but that's not what it says. So he puts a word in there. But when I do what I'm getting ready to do right now, he will try to show you that I'm a heretic and how you can't trust these dry cleaners. Well, the word world right here in the Textus Receptus is age. And it works that way. Say, but isn't it this world? Yes, it is. Say, well, isn't that right? Yes, it is. But like I've heard Dr. Ruttman say, like he'll read the verse and he say, well, a better understanding would be, and non anansi, in other words, he's making it clear what the passage said. All right, if I were to do this, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. That is what is in the Textus Receptus. The word world, and I want you to notice now, I want you to compare these verses as we read them and notice the difference in world in the sense of a ball, this planet called Earth, with the sun and the moon and the stars around it and so forth. I want you to notice the difference in them. Turn back in your Bible, please, to Romans and look in Romans chapter 1. Let's see if we can detect. In Romans chapter 1, notice in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. But wait a minute now. Let's put on the board up here. The crucifixion of Christ is back here. Paul is saved here. The rapture comes here. Second coming is here. Christ reigns 1,000 years over here. How could I say, or how could Paul say, your faith, in other words, right here, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world? That'd be a little difficult, wouldn't it? I mean, how can I say Dub's faith is spoken of next month? Are you there? The word is not age. It is different. You can't speak throughout the whole age while you stand here. This present evil age, right now, wherein we live. Notice in verse 20. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. That cannot be an age. Look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 6, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? No way can you put age there. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, they say to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. This is like, I think somebody said cosmos. In other words, it's the whole thing put together. Look in chapter 4, verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world. That's not the age. Was not to Abraham or his seed through the law. Chapter 5, verse 12. And we could have gone to this one to start with. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world? Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the age? Can't be. It's the whole thing. did sin enter into the world? Did it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Perfection. And the earth was without form and darkness upon the face of the deep, on and on and on. Then later on, he said, let us make man in our own image. He puts him in the garden, and he said, you can eat of every tree here, and on and on. But then he said, you're not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There you do, on and on. All right. There's no doubt about that. All the human beings that have lived on the face of the earth from Adam down the line, except Jesus Christ, are part of that world of human beings that walked in sin. Sin entered into the world, not age. Now, notice in Romans chapter 12, and notice the difference here. Romans 12, we'll start in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That's age, folks. Be not conformed to this age. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Look in chapter 16. 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, kept secret since this age began. In fact, I just for clarity, but I can put it back here. In other words, at that point back there, something took place that no one knew anything about until it was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. What? That Jesus Christ in his death at Calvary and burial and resurrection justified all those that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that had been kept secret from that point back there and so forth. No doubt about it. And in fact, the passages are just numerous. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. He wants these Ephesians to know the exceeding greatness of God's power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Why, folks, we're dealing with an age here. This age and that which is to come. Antichrist. Jesus Christ is exalted above the Antichrist. He's exalted above the false prophet. He's exalted above Lucifer and so forth and so on. In other words, above, he exalted him above all in this age and that one which is to come, including the millennium. During the millennium, Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit, but at the end, he'll be loosed, and he will deceive millions when he's set free. Notice in chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, start in verse 8, a reference to the mystery. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now the passage is a little bit difficult. I mean, if you let your mind wander, and you say, okay, it all happened back there. It did, but that is before the age in which it became a reality. In other words, God did something before the foundation of the world, decided something before the foundation back there, that even stars showed up. He made a decision about it but it's still before the age began. Now, go back to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Well, there is something else going to happen over here that we need to be delivered from. Now, there are a lot of types. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 that the things which are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we by patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So I think about, there's old Abraham back there in Genesis 18 sitting in his tent door, and he sees three men arrive. One of them is the Lord. We'll be talking about that later on this morning. The other two are angels. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and burn it. So Abraham prepares a meal for the Lord. And then the two angels go to do the job they came to do, but the Lord remains with Abraham. So as they walk along there, Abraham is asking him. In effect, he's saying, I know you. And I know your mercy and your kindness and patience and everything. And can it be possible that you would destroy that place down there if there are 50 righteous in it? And he tells him, no, if there are 50 righteous down there, I'll be long-suffering for their sake. Then he said, how about 45? How about 40? How about 35? I think it came down to 10. Because his family's in there. You know, Lot is his nephew, so forth. But there weren't that many. So did he just go into it? No. He got them out of there before he rained fire on it. He removed them. There are just so many examples back there in the Old Testament Scripture. And they're not types, but they're examples. Elijah, example. Elijah's taken up. Right now I'm Noah. Noah's up above the wrath. The Bible said we should be saved from wrath. We should be saved from this present evil world. Why? All hell's going to break loose. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I suspect that this is one of the most difficult doctrines to the church, which is the body of Christ. Once an individual gets the truth about salvation by grace through faith and the mystery, the fact that Christ died for our sins, gets all that straight, then the devil sends somebody with some crazy thing about the rapture to try to prove to you that they didn't anybody believe in the rapture until some nut came along and this nut wrote and on and here we go. And the first thing you know, you're questioning something that you used to believe with all your heart and saw it in the Scriptures. And you know what happens? Along comes John Doe, preacher, and he jumps on the bandwagon before he tries it. Before he tests it and check it out and everything. He said, boy, that looks good to me. I believe that, and bingo. And he's on that bandwagon like that guy wrote 88 reasons that the rapture is going to come in 88. Well, people got on that bandwagon. It looked good to them. But it didn't happen. You know, this thing just keeps on. See, today, the big deal is, aha, you thought the rapture is going to be in 1993, didn't you? 7 years before 2000. Aha, didn't come. I've been telling you, you're going to go through the tribulation. Well, are we? I mean, is this a tribulation? It's a breeze, isn't it? Who is the Antichrist? Bill Clinton? Sorry about that. There's always somebody waiting to, you know, to lay it on, man, and they'll get you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, like in the second coming, as in chapter 1, verse 7 through 10, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, that's what he will do when he comes. Verse 5. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now you know what withholdeth. By the way, for Paul to have told the Thessalonians those things while he was with them, he would have had to have used the Old Testament Scriptures. Therefore, I know there must be something in the Old Testament Scriptures that will identify the Antichrist. It'll identify him in character. It'll identify him physically. It'll identify him religiously. It'll identify him, on and on and on. And sure enough, there is. But not only is that true of the Antichrist, in other words, it identifies the the Old Testament identifies the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of the Antichrist. The time of the coming of the Lord, the time of the coming of the Antichrist, and on and on and on. It identifies it. But what happens? These men who operate in the wisdom of this world get in there and start fooling around with all that and try to magnify themselves in the eyes of human beings, and the first thing you know, they change that so that you can't identify either one. This is him right here. Verse 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that it might be revealed in his time. What? Now you know what withholdeth, that he, the Antichrist, the man of sin, might be revealed in his time? Well, then the Antichrist has a time. Or does he? Sure said that, didn't it? Did Paul? Absolutely. Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God, which was a mystery. It was hid. It is unrevealed in the Scripture. And when the angel appeared unto Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, he didn't know anything about it, so he revealed the time up to the cross. Then he identified the fact that the temple would be destroyed in A.D. 70, although he didn't name A.D. 70. And then he identified the coming of the Antichrist and the time until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has to do with a week of years. In other words, a seven-year period. All right, Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. The Antichrist is given the time of Jacob's trouble, and he is the trouble. He's the problem. He's given a time. Now, go back to Galatians again, please. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. All right. Now, by that then, I know something. I know that we trust Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I know that at Calvary, we were crucified, buried, and risen. Number 2, I know that we were justified at Calvary based upon God's foreknowledge that we would trust Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Number 3, I know that we are righteous by the faith of Christ based upon God's knowledge that we would believe. Faith to faith. His faith unto our faith unto His faith. In other words, when we believe on Him who by faith went to Calvary and died for us. So, we are justified. We are righteous. We are forgiven our trespasses. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. We are saved by grace through faith, but that isn't all. We are glorified, Romans chapter 8, predestinated to be in the image of the Lord, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. As many as He did predestinate, He did justify. As many as He did justify, He did call. And as many as He did call, He did what? Glorify. So in the mind of God, it's a finished product. Why did Jesus Christ die and pay for our sins, according to the verse? Huh? Look at it. Verse 4. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might what? Well, in the name of all that's decent, why would He want to leave us here? If this is a time of Jacob's trouble, if this is a time of problems and judgment and condemnation and damnation, why would God designate a period of time back here to Paul for us and keep it hidden Himself, reveal it to Paul, and then put us in here to go? I mean, to me, this is all senseless. I think the majority of the people that get hung up on this thing about going through the tribulation don't have the sense to walk through the woods without bumping into trees. I think if you're ever hitchhiking and they come along and offer you a ride, you'd better walk. He gave Himself for our sins. Why? In order that. That's what the word, that's the idea. That, in order that, He might deliver us from this present evil age, this present evil world. It's a world. It is a world made up of human beings around the world, and they're evil, according to the will of God. Well, it is the will of God, then, that we be glorified. Well, then why would God Almighty want to wait until the second coming of Christ to glorify us if the age ends? I mean, how can you have a period of time that is a mystery hid in God and another time over here that is revealed by an angel? He saw it. He described it. Daniel wrote it down in Daniel chapter 9. And how can you end up by saying, well, this one here is really this one over here, and this one is part of this one back here? I mean, why? Wouldn't make any sense. Why put them together? He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us. The word deliver here is two words put together. This thing really gave me a fit, man. I mean, it really did, because I don't know anything about Greek. This is two words put together, and the word from, this it just absolutely blows my mind, as they say. In other words, this word is E-X-A-R-I, I believe it's E-O, X. In other words, X is out, and this word is carry or remove. He gave himself for our sins that he might carry us out, or remove us out, or deliver us out. I mean, all that in one word, and the word from is A-P-O. Sorry about that. And the word A-P-O is like away from. Not carry us in from. In other words, is not deliver us while we stand here in the room and deliver us from the teaching that's going on in the room. It's deliver us away from and out of and apart from the room. There isn't any doubt about it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Boom! Away we're going to go. Away from, carried out from this present evil age. And then this present evil age will get it. They'll bow before the Antichrist, receive him, surrender to him, and so forth. Who gave himself for our sins. Notice the word deliver. Turn to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 7, and notice, comparing scripture with scripture, a comparison. Acts 7, verse 10. His reference to Joseph, verse 10, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. Delivered him out of his afflictions. Look in verse 34. I've seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, God says to Moses. I've heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. Well, he did. He didn't deliver them in Egypt. He delivered them from Egypt, carried them away from it. Look in Acts 12, verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. Well, he took him out of jail, is what he did, and led him through locked doors and everything. Nothing stopped them, and out they went. Delivered him out. Notice in chapter 26, I want you to skip. Go to Romans 7. This is the word I want. I mean, this fits us. Romans chapter 7. This old man here nails it down. In Romans 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and on and on and on. That's the idea, folks. It's the rapture. So, well, the word rapture isn't in the Bible. No, but the truth of which the word rapture is about is in the Bible. You see, when you use the word rapture, you're in effect saying the same thing of what will take place when the rapture comes. Although the rapture isn't there, the word rapture describes what is there when you say that word. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, carry us out, remove us out, rescue us out of this present evil age. And all that is according to the will of God and our Father. Well, we know the will of God. I mean, God never chose us unto condemnation. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it's according to his will that we be made like unto the Son of God. Why? Glory. Glory. That's it. We will be his glory at the second coming, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and Ephesians 3 and so forth.